call. So I want to welcome everyone, and then you're going to start everything. I'm going to welcome everyone. I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And it's good to see you all. You guys are so important. You did. Thank you so much for everyone who responded to my request about the food pantry databases. We have a committee and we're working on that to find the best ones for the network food pantries. We have Elizabeth is new, Craig, to this group, so maybe she could introduce herself. And this is the first time we're seeing Alex. And we're expecting more people, so, you know, I'm sure they'll come on. I'll let them in when they come in. So I want to thank Craig for being a wonderful co-chair and getting this whole thing started. Without him, there would not be an IT group. And then Jonathan came on board. So thank you, chair person.
Thank you, Lisa, for getting everything started and coordinated and keeping us going.
Here comes Jonathan, too.
Appreciate that.
And here's your other co-chair, Jonathan Wise. I already did the whole introductions. Hi, Chris. Good to see you again.
Hey.
Okay. So there you go, Craig.
All right. So should we start out hearing from our
Elizabeth,
our new members, just to say a quick hello?
Yep. Hi, my name's Elizabeth. I currently work at Albert Jewish Family and Children's Service as the Welligent Database Coordinator. I've been with Albert for about 6.5 years now. And I also work along with Rob Pease over there. Hey, Rob. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. So you're Welligent. I know people were talking about that at one point, but.
Yes, I'm the Welligent person.
Hello. Stop. Okay, Alex, did you want to say something?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that we use Welligent. Mm-hmm. I have brought that up before.
Okay, great. Now you've got a partner in crime.
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
All right, sounds great.
Yeah, that's the only new person.
So when I was asked for agenda items, I thought of re-entry because my world and my work organization has been consumed with that for ever since we all went home, but especially over the first few weeks of June and as we head into July. So I just wanted to go around the room, get some thoughts from people on how you're handling it, what your input is to what I'm sure must be a larger group or committee in all of your organizations, and any kind of common themes in terms of returning to work, if this COVID break has caused any thought of like permanent work changes for you or your departments or your whole organizations, and how that's all kind of weaving back into plans to go back.
I have to say hiring IT people is challenging. especially getting them started. We had a what I'll call a false start where we thought we had somebody picked out and thought it was going to work out great. After about a week, we figured out really fast it just was not going to work. And I'm not sure if it was the environment, him being in the office versus wanting to work remote. But we figured out pretty quick he would never really do well remote and then just didn't have the skills to even be in the office. So we moved on and we're back in that search mode again. Has been challenging, especially with all the paperwork. Trying to figure out how to get the mountains and mountains and mountains of paperwork to them to sign. Has been a challenge. We've come on with DocuSign, but of course, everybody says, "Hey, let's use DocuSign. You'll have it ready tomorrow morning, right?" Like, no. Maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, we might have it ready to fly, but. They're like, I have somebody I want to hire today. Well, how'd you do it before? Maybe you need to mail them, email them, use their printer toner instead of ours. So that's been challenging.
Yeah, it's Jonathan from Montreal. It's been interesting, I'll tell you. We went remote March 13th. our staff, my IT team stayed in the office an extra week. And then we converted, we have an in-house database, and we were able to convert our in-house database to a web access so that our staff can get it from external. And we cut about 25% of our staff in some temporary layoffs. So we've got people running around, and we're working with our Cummings Center, which is our in the same building as us, or next door to us, which is the seniors portion, on a help desk, a hotline that we've been receiving a couple hundred calls. At the beginning, we were receiving 100 calls a day. Now it's about 100 calls a week, or 200 calls a week approximately, where people are calling in. We don't know if they're a senior or a non-senior, and routing them to the right resources, etc. We're very fortunate because about 3 or 4 years ago, we went to a cloud-based phone system. So within days, we were able to get our staff up on the cloud-based phone system so that we can call with webcams or from computers, anything, any extension. But the reentry is going to be interesting. We feel that we're in a federation building with another 20 agencies. And our plan is basically no one's going back except for accounting and maybe a few IT. And we'll start to do some people in July. Our biggest challenge, to be honest, is our building access. They shut down our building where we only have access it from 10 to 2 o'clock during the day. That's it.
Wow.
So if your CEO, who's new to being remote and is technically challenged, keeps shutting down their computer in the office, you can't physically go there and power it on until 10:15 in the morning. And most of you may or may not know that Quebec is one of the largest electrical producers in the world. We've had 4 power failures in our building, 3 of them in 1 week, which means we know UPS is on all of our computers. We have it on all of our key stuff. We had to repower up over 200 computers, one by one, walking through the building. That's been some of our challenges, but our back to work protocol is going to be very, very minimal. We're using Zoom a ton. We're using, we're having our AGM on Thursday night. We have to have it because some of our funders require 90 days after our year end. So we're doing a virtual AGM, and we're doing a virtual annual report. We're not printing one. We're doing one on a website. We're producing it on the website, and people can click and then see all the information, then have a downloadable copy. A lot of our funders require a downloadable copy. We're finding the strain on the tech department to be a lot because everyone's going digital. When Robert said DocuSign, I started to laugh because about 15 months ago, we updated all of our internal policies. So we bought a DocuSign account from TechSoup, and we sent out 100 pages to every single employee that they had to initial every single page and then put it through. So we have that process, but that was sitting in HR. Now we've got all of our corporate documents that need to be signed. You know, our amendments, our board amendments, our agreements with our government funders. So we pulled that back into IT because there's too much confidential corporate stuff. So that's been laying on our team. So that's our perspective.
Are you at home right now?
At home, and my home office, where I just have to, I have probably 15 computers here just in a 10 by 10 space because we're, you know, if you guys see Nux, you know what a Nux is? You know, we pulled them out of every single one of our boardroom just to give computers to people that didn't have computers at home. We've been doing that. We bought some Chromebooks, and we have Cisco AnyConnect. So we use Cisco AnyConnect, and then the remote desk stopping back into their office computers. By the way, that's worked really, really well.
Remote desktop?
Yeah, Cisco AnyConnect.
That's what I had in my old job. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, the Chromebooks work quite well with that. We pulled out every single computer that we possibly have. We have about 80 people that we pulled out different pieces of equipment out to get them working from home. So it's been very challenging, and we're not going back soon because Montreal is the hot spot of Canada. So yesterday was the first day, Quebec was the first day in since March where we haven't had a death.
Wow.
So we're nuts.
Hey, so, Jonathan, are you having Wi-Fi issues with your Chromebooks? Do you have to struggle to keep them connected?
No. I bought a brand new Chromebook. Okay. It worked well. We had two or three of them. Also, by the way, we're also opening up a new clinic in the midst of all this. And they're trying to get all those, an OT and psychotherapists and all this stuff set up remotely in the middle of all this.
Jeezy, you sound pretty relaxed about that. That sounds like it's going to be a nightmare. I don't know anything about IT.
Yeah, this is my seventh Zoom of the day, so I'm a little bit fried.
Yeah.
I think it's cautious resignation to it's going to be crazy for the next few months and no point panicking over it. Just deal with it.
Right.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you know what? I think I'll tell you what our philosophy has been. You know, we aim for 80% and the other 10%, the other 20% will figure out how to deal with it. So if we can get 80% of the 80% of the people happy, the other 10% will figure out what to do and where we want to move things around. So things aren't going to always work. And that's just been our modus operandi. Our staff are running around because our issue is, I got my programmer is over 65, so he can't go anywhere. He can't go into anyone's homes. I have one junior tech who's been running around dropping equipment all over town, and we're running around a lot because we're trying to get people up and running. So. That's what's going on in Montreal. And I don't see us going back as a staff. October, November, the earliest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about other people? What's happening? Have you, Atlanta, you guys are probably, you're back, right?
We are moving back. We're in the next phase. We kind of, as we closed and settled into that, our leadership team did a four-phase plan. To put each service area, let them kind of chart out what that would look like. So we kind of had budgeting and staffing ready. We're into the next phase and have reopened our facilities slowly in many areas, but not much staff is in. And as we see cases increase, we're really watching that closely. Lots of similar things in terms of the challenges are still coming to get everyone acclimated and doing their best at home. I mean, I've been buying refurbished laptops on Amazon and shipping them to my house, you know, three or four at a time and swapping out where people were having performance. So it's a lot of that coordination, more and more systems that we need to still look at. We've been a big migration over the last couple months into 365. We've been there for email, but we implemented Teams beforehand and we've used Teams a lot for internal communications, chat, video, meetings, Zoom for external, including we hosted our annual meeting, had about 200 participants there. We didn't do it with the webinar product. We just did it with a Zoom business account. It worked really well. Couple moderators, you know, we had to work on quality video, how it was all loaded and managed. And we did a big meeting. We did like two dress rehearsals for just to get all the transition. So it took a lot more time and that's following on technology. But, all the stuff that we're used to of walking around the office, getting signatures, I got to look at DocuSign and moving more of our stuff to the cloud is really taxing still. I think it's going to be a long time until we're back in any significant way. And my CEO isn't there yet, but I think it's likely that pretty soon we're going to commit to something like a 3-day remote, 2-day in the office kind of thing, just to keep, you know, our accounting team has to go into cut checks and do some of that. So we'll trade off, but it's still a challenge. And it's going to be.
Keith, when do you think you'll see clients in the office?
So we're doing very limited. So we do some psychoeducational testing. So tomorrow we're going to see the first client, masks and plexi dividers and thermal, you know, infrared temperatures and that kind of stuff, but not in any big volume for a while. At the dental clinic, we're looking at resuming treatment on a limited basis in mid-July. but it's going to be a long time. I mean, all of our therapists have gone remote and doing virtual, and their productivity is way up. They're happier. More people are attending our groups because they don't have to worry about traffic. You know, so lots of things have been better. Running the business is harder, but I think our staff have been more effective in large part.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing here too. Business is up, therapists are happier, they're doing a lot more business, seeing a lot more clients, a lot more participation in groups.
So, except I can tell you that things are going to change in terms of compliance and the different kinds of forms that they have to get once they lift whatever these, you know, emergency COVID, you know, telehealth sanctions were. You know, you have to do
yeah, we have right from the very beginning gone by the harder standards. We haven't taken advantage of any of the relaxation of the enforcement of the standards, knowing that we would have to go back. I mean, if we've relaxed things, it's been like DocuSign. We didn't have the HIPAA version of DocuSign for 3 days, and we started using it. So we took advantage of that a little bit, but we were headed straight for that. So. Just a quick note, those of you that are talking about going to DocuSign, the nonprofit version of DocuSign through TechSoup is not HIPAA compliant. So just going to let you know that. That if you want the HIPAA compliant version, you have to buy their full blown. And we work that out by actually having two accounts. One is the nonprofit version for admin and the full business version for regular users. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, one thing we have also, we with our new clinic with all the virtual stuff, there's a where you can do your own forms. It's a site called Jot Forms. And Jot Forms has a HIPAA compliant, and they're giving free for COVID relief forms as well.
Want to put it in the chat?
Yeah, we'll put it in there. We're using it for when we start something. And we started to use it for everything from when we start a remote session with a client, we send them a form that they can sign on their end. It also works with payments with Square, so if you have to get payments and do quick integration for payments and stuff like that, we use that. So it's been I got an email a couple days ago saying that they now have for nonprofits for HIPAA compliance, they have the version that'll upgrade you for free.
Interesting. Yeah, when I looked at them, I didn't think they were HIPAA compliant, so we passed and moved on. So maybe that's changed.
It is pretty flexible. We've looked at it and used it a little bit for internal. One thing, though, our creative folks did not like it for web and brand kind of external stuff because you can't templatize it and brand it as much as they wanted. You know, it's kind of straightforward, but it's got great functionality just for internal operations.
What we've done also, because each one of our workers, we made a form for them, so it's all preformed, and they can just send the link to the client. So it's been quite flexible and quite good for that, if you're using standard things for clients.
You know, I'll say, I don't know if the rest of you have dealt with this or not. I'm also in charge of facilities for our organization. The hardest part of what I'm doing is keeping up with a facility, because nobody's there to watch it. And same thing with the server room, same thing with, you know, just all over the place. We've had some really torrential downpours lately that have popped up some leaks that we don't see for 3 or 4 days because nobody ever goes in there. Of course, my cleaning crew is clueless. They just figure, hey, water on the floor, let me just mop it up, and they don't tell anybody that it's there. So, but I don't know if anybody's run into that. We've got a couple issues with things happening in the server room that physically, you know, little leaks and things that we didn't know about because just not there. I mean, temperature and stuff, power, I know about because it tells me, but I really don't have a water detector in the entire ceiling. So something I got to be aware of.
So I just accepted a new role internally for chief administrative officer that includes facilities. I should have talked to you before I accepted that because now
yes,
that's the kind of stuff I'm worried about.
Yes, it is a whole different way. And I don't know if you do any transportation, but somehow security and transportation drops into that role too, sneaks in there and just takes over your world. So, yeah, sorry. My condolences, Keith.
Thanks. Well, I'll call you.
Go ahead.
Here in Minneapolis, I've been coming into the office every day, A, to look at the servers and make sure things keep rolling, and B, just to kind of keep an eye on the building. And it's helped me because the routine of coming in every day, you know, there's 6 to 10 people at most that come into the building. I feel like the building's almost safer in a way because I'm a townhome association at home, and you know, I don't want the neighbors are all walking their dogs. So if they don't pay attention to that, they're getting too close. But yeah, I noticed a water leak here. And today we had a semi pull out of the lot and clipped a cable line that's strung up, but not high enough. And then it snapped power lines on top of that. So, I mean, if I wasn't here, you know, I mean, it didn't cause an outage in the building. It caused a momentary blip, but the semi was blocking the street for an hour till they got the lines off the truck. So, you know, there's an advantage to coming in every day, but, and I don't want people bringing their computers, their notebook computers to my house to look at them. Like, well, you come into the office where I can wipe them down, and I got wipes and the masks and everything I need right here.
Yeah.
That's exactly why we're putting the first wave coming into our building is going to be the IT and the accounting departments. And we're going to start July 6th to be 2 to 3 days a week in the office.
Yeah, I think we are a ways from that. Our accounting team's been in shifts, but being in Southeast Florida, we're in Palm Beach County, where our numbers are going back up, and I can't believe they're not going back into shutdowns, but they're not. So we have to be very careful, and I'll probably be home for a while because my wife has COPD and is 65, so she's right in that target range. I don't want to bring some cooties home to her. So as much as I can stay. The one thing I can say is our workers have gotten much more used to sending me a help desk request and having me log in remotely. They are much more comfortable. They don't need to see me walk in their office and actually touch their computer. It's interesting. We use Screen Connect for remote access, and that has just been a godsend as we went remote for support access anyway. And we spun up a server farm, a remote desktop server farm, very quickly in the first part of this. We now have 3 hosts running, and that seems to run pretty well. It's running in 2016, so a lot of new features. Looks like a Windows 10 desktop when they get on it, except that it has all the server crap in the background, so I know which one they're on when they're having issues. That has helped a lot. A lot of the phones, I know some of you talked about cloud phone systems. We've converted. We had an upgrade done to our phone system to go to IP phones, which in my naivety said, hey, when we come back in a month or so, we'll take those IP phones and put it in one of our satellite offices, and we can replace that phone system. And here we are 3 months later and not looking at coming back anytime soon. So,
like Bob, I haven't really stopped going in. I've been going in all the time, and I had I was in the middle of upgrading all the PCs, about 200 PCs anyway. So the timing of it was actually kind of funny, except I had to have people come in and get these laptops I configured. So I guess I delivered, I don't know, between 90 and 100 laptops, and I was able to unbox them, image them, set them up for the network and get them out within 3 weeks. So it was a pretty efficient operation. But what we're looking at now is scanning. What if anything are you guys doing for scanning? I've looked at apps for the phone. My EMR doesn't support the mobile scanning. So I'm thinking about going old school, man, getting these guys cheap scanners that plug in USB so they can go in the field. Have you guys tackled anything like this yet?
We did some of that. We used Dropbox for a while because they have a real good document scanning feature. I don't know that they do OCR, but just the ability to catalog and such. Then we switched to a system called mFiles. We're not totally to it. We've got to get more licenses to get there. But mFiles works on mobile devices. You can pull up documents as well as scan documents just by taking a picture of them. They will OCR the document, pull information off them if you need it to.
That's mFile?
Yep, m-files. F-I-L-E-S. And it's a really neat system. We built our whole Holocaust invoicing payment system around M-Files, where we're scanning hundreds of invoices a day and submitting them, dumping the payments right into accounting after everything's been approved, doing an upload right into the accounting system, cutting checks. It's really wild that we're doing as much as we're doing with one person handling that management. Lisa, I see you nodding. I don't know if anybody's talked to you about the system we're using over here for that.
I'm just nodding because it's amazing the kind of work that all of you are doing and, you know, really sort of on your own. Like, you know, Joseph's story about getting all those computers done in that amount of time. It's amazing to me.
We did similar, not to that extent. We probably had 70 computers go out, but what really helped me is I run facilities. So I grabbed my maintenance guy and said, you're going to be the courier. And he would come out to my house and bring me boxes of computers and take them where they needed to go and pick up what he needed. We had a whole system set up where he drops the box at the front door and then goes back to his vehicle, calls them and waits for them to pick it up. And then if they have something to go, he then goes back after they close the door, picks up what they have, brings it back to the office or wherever.
So what's Tim been doing out in Denver?
So our offices are still closed to the public, but we are just this week allowing employees to come back up to 50% capacity, although we've been encouraged by the CEO to, if we can work from home, to continue to work from home. It's a little bit of a logistical nightmare to try to figure out who's coming in on what days to make sure no area of the office has more than 50% of the people. Yeah, I think this is a permanent shift for us. We were a pretty traditional office-based environment, very few people working from home. And this has really shifted everything. I think there'll be a lot of people who will work from home either permanently or much more frequently. And I think we're now out of the initial, just let's get people set up to work, even if it's not the best way. Now we're trying to figure out, so for example, people are using personal computers from home to remote into their computer in the office or the remote desktop or to get to all of our web-based products. And I'm starting to ask questions like, how do we feel about that? How do we feel about someone using a personal computer to access our, you know, our web-based EMR? And, you know, do we need to really ramp up buying laptops for people? So, and then I think I sent out an email to all of you. We're going to be implementing Ring Central here any day. Because that was our major thing that really did not work. We have an old digital on-site system. And so trying to figure that whole process and eliminating, so we're going the other direction. I know that some of you have gone where you issue cell phones to people, and we're actually getting rid of our company-owned cell phones and just having them use their personal cell phones, putting the Ring Central app on there and reimbursing them, albeit at a relatively small amount, $15 a month. So that's a pretty big project that we're trying to shift to. And then our final project for work from home is getting our files into SharePoint off of our server and getting into Azure AD and get rid of on-premise AD so we can get rid of our servers. But all of that's been kind of, it's almost ironic that right before we started work from home, we were starting our migration to SharePoint and met with a group of people who was going to determine how to set up the file structure and all that stuff. And then when this happened, that got put on the wayside. So we have to kind of come back to that. It's really impacted the organization as well. I mean, we're actually some tough decisions that probably should have been made a while ago are now being made to eliminate programs and departments and even sell one of our, we have two main locations and we're going to sell one of them. We did get a PPP loan and everybody stayed employed through the end of this month, but there are some layoffs happening at the end of this month. And just some rethinking, readjusting, not just of how we work, but of the entire organization and how we serve the community. So it's been interesting. The only question I have kind of, as we've been thinking, some people are asking about taking their desktop computers home. And I'm curious if anybody is doing that instead of having to buy laptops, particularly for people who may be coming back to the office eventually. And we haven't done it yet, but there's a few people who have asked, so I'm not sure if anybody's doing that and the wisdom or not of allowing that.
What we did
I have my desktop at home.
Okay, you do? Okay. Jonathan?
What we did was we did a hybrid. We realized that people were going to be working home for an extended period of time, so we created what we're calling a home pack. So people could take home. We have a classroom and we have some student areas, etc. So we're pulling keyboards, mice, and monitors, and their chair. Chair seems to be a really big thing.
Interesting.
So what we've done is that on Friday, by end of the week Friday, they submit a request. My tech goes into the office, picks up a monitor from anywhere, takes their chair, labels it, gives them a keyboard and mouse, and puts it together, and they can take that. We're calling that a go-home pack. So they can take that and roll that out, and they can roll it out to their place. Hmm. For people that didn't have computers or computers at home, we're using our classroom computers as extra computers, so we're keeping their office computers still in place. We're using the NUCs, like I said, from our boardrooms, our 7 or 8 boardrooms. I've stolen all the NUCs from around the office. And we're using staff that have been laid off where needed. We are, where I know it's going to be a longer-term layoff than a shorter-term layoff, so we don't expect people coming back. We may cannibalize their computer. So that's kind of been our strategy. But the go-home pack has been been popular. We're in our second or third week. We have about 8 or 10 people that have, you know, brave the elements, if we want to call it, and come to the office and picked up their chair, which they're thrilled about.
Interesting. You know, unfortunately, I don't have spare computers to do that with like you do. At least I don't think we do, actually. No, I'm thinking about one of the classrooms. But anyway, good.
Have you had problems with people differentiating between Ethernet and Wi-Fi? And if you let somebody take their desktop computer home, then having to go through the extra instruction of explaining to them how to plug two things into their home cable modem? That was, I know it sounds like a small thing, but that was kind of one of the main reasons why we decided just to let people take laptops home and not desktops.
Craig, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. That's exactly right. Like people are, you know, desktops don't have Wi-Fi built in, so they're not going to understand how to plug it in. Or even if they can, because their router's in the basement and they're working in a home office. So
routers are in the kids' room usually.
Yeah. Right, right.
What we've done is actually I bought a bunch of USB Wi-Fis. And my tech actually goes in there to the office, gets their credentials, sets up a profile for them on the computer so they're logging in, so their Outlook works, and when they VPN, it comes in well. So we sort of, that's why we do it. They give us up Friday, and they pick it up on Wednesday. So my guy goes in for a day or so and rolls out the stations for the staff.
And we stayed all remote to try to eliminate a lot of the, for lack of a better word, crap that goes on at the home computer, on a home computer, and all the possible things that can go wrong. And I don't like VPN because it just opens up too many holes. But remote desktop really allows me to control the environment better. They have Office. We don't have to install it. They have Outlook. They use our EMR through remote desktop. They can print to local printers if they need to. But for the most part, we try not to send anything print home because of HIPAA and security. I don't want paper bouncing around the house that has confidential information on it that the husband or somebody or wife or whoever will pick it up and take it to another meeting, and all of a sudden we've got a breach. So we try to keep...
How many users are you talking about using a remote desktop?
About 75 right now. So, and we use all kinds of different devices for that. We've started pushing out laptops because we found the Chromebooks that we were getting didn't have enough horsepower to do Zoom and remote desktop at the same time. They really struggled, especially big meetings. So we've been rolling out a bunch of laptops. And I've been working a lot, literally in the last 3 days, with Intune through Azure. I don't know if any of you've worked with that. Tim, you and I should have a real long conversation about that because I am really struggling with it. But I think I got it working on the iPhones. I think I got it working on the Androids. I want to push it out to the desktop so that when I want to put Outlook on somebody's desktop at home, their personal box, I can control the environment it lives in. So if you've got any insight, Tim, I would love to spend some time offline with you. Pick your brain.
I don't have insight yet. We're actually looking to roll it out. We just switched over from our we're switching over from our E3 plan to Microsoft 365 Business Premium, which works for us because we're about 150 users, so we're well under the 300 minimum. And yeah, part of what I'm going to do is deploy in, tune out, do multi-factor authentication, Azure AD, have a web portal with all of our apps, and it's a whole big project. So not yet, Robert, but over the next few months, you and I should probably connect.
Well, I have a deadline of July 1 to get it done. So Our current encryption and mobile device management provider is discontinuing their service for that on July 1. So actually October, but our contract ends in July. So I'm really trying to push
this. So get in touch after this. You have each other's emails.
Yeah.
So could we hear from, have we heard from Chris yet and Vince? How are you guys handling everything?
We did okay. We bought licenses so that we had 250 remote users, and then we have NetExtender also that we're using for other staff. So probably like 450 of our employees are working remote, and they're able to connect in. Anybody that's in the field has a mobile phone. We dug out laptops from recycle that should be recycled.
We did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you had to, because we had so many. I mean, for 2 weeks, it was a blur.
I hate to interrupt, Chris, but like 2 days, like the week that during the last week that we were working, I had recycled and gotten rid of 200 laptops. It was so frustrating.
It
was like in the same week that everyone got sent home. If you remember back then, I was thinking this thing was just crap. I didn't think this was a big deal at all. I came on the first meeting after we all got sent home to eat crow, but I couldn't get a word in edgewise and I had to go. So, but I had just thrown a bunch of those away and could have used some of that stuff actually, but yeah, so be it.
Yeah, so we have all of our staff are pretty much remote. I came in one day a week. I would come in on Tuesdays because we actually did hire someone during this, and she comes in on Tuesdays and we meet, and it worked out for us. But I've been for the last 3 weeks into the office every day.
You were in your office.
Yeah, I'm more productive here. Actually, I work less. I know that's terrible to say, but when I was at home, I was working stupid hours. I mean, I was like waking up and then started working at 7:30 in the morning and, 8 o'clock at night. And it was exhausting for me. So by coming into the office, I have to get up and go walk down the hall to go to the bathroom. Kind of even that, you know what I mean? It's not because all I did was sit there. So, but we did well. We were able to keep our people in the field working, and we did go-to meetings for our clients, and I can't remember what the other one was, whatever one we discussed the last meeting, they were able, or 2 meetings ago.
I just want to say something, Chris, that all of you really were heroes. I mean, they talk about everyone, but without you, none of this could happen in any agency. And that much I know 100,000%. So
how much do they love everybody?
They love you even more than they ever did. I know. I know I do with our online person. I mean, that guy really set me up and talked with me for hours because I'm in the attic. They had to run an Ethernet. I don't even know what they were talking about, but it worked. So I just know how important you are. You always were, but you're even more important now. And people really realize it. That was it. So Elizabeth left before we got to talk with her. That's a bummer.
Hang on real quick though. Thanks on the DocuSign, by the way. I just checked. We're okay. And we're moving to Teams right now. We're actually in the process of doing it. We have a consultant that's coming in and setting that stuff up. But otherwise, we've just been using GoToMeeting, and people just have to learn to share.
So, Chris, are you using Tech Impact at all?
I'm sorry?
Are you using Tech Impact? They're a nonprofit MSP. Any of you guys heard of them? Mm-hmm. Any good?
Yeah, I actually used them a while ago to start off with, help us think through our SharePoint migration, some planning, and just for that small project, I had a bad experience, meaning I went through this whole process and there was no value to it whatsoever because of who they assigned to me, and kind of assuming that we were starting from ground one, which I had said we weren't. Got through the whole thing. They're like, oh, that was the wrong project. You actually wanted an in-depth technical. And I'm like, and actually, in fairness to them, they refunded our like, they didn't charge us. And so I've had some really good conversations with people over there. I think that was just kind of a miss. So I wouldn't totally hold it against them. They seem to know what they're doing if you make sure you're getting the right scoped project. So.
And yeah, what is it called?
Tech Impact. And that's who Tech Support suggested that I talk to in doing our migration as we try to figure out.
Oh, we actually have a consultant for our agency that we use on like anything that's like our penetration testing, any of that stuff. Yeah. We're doing that too at the same time. It's been a little insane.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say there's two companies, Tech Impact. They are a nonprofit themselves. They grew out of NPower. If any of you have ever heard of that kind of network of nonprofit tech providers. And so they are a nonprofit. I think they're headquartered in either Philadelphia or DC. They have offices in both. And then there's another group in DC called Community IT. They're a for-profit group, but they cater exclusively to nonprofits. And I'm really impressed with some of their stuff as a IT support provider and planning and project management.
What was the name of that again? I'm sorry.
Community IT.
That's right.
Yeah, they have some great webinars. I was just on one about technology leadership and got some really good ideas about how to approach our executive team about my role in the organization and how to kind of elevate what it is that I'm doing, what I want to be doing on that webinar. So yeah, if you just Google Community IT and then Tech Impact, two really pretty good resources. They both put on really good webinars. I've been pretty impressed with both.
So put that in the chat if you can. That'd be great.
Sure.
Chris,
Heard from, let's see, I think we're still...
Alex.
We still have not heard from Alex and Vincent, right?
Yep. And Terry. Terry, are you in the same place as Chris, Gulf Coast? Or are you not in Gulf Coast, Chris?
Yeah, she's Gulf Coast.
She is too. Okay, great.
Yeah, she's Alex. Sorry I joined late, by the way.
No worries. Yeah, Alex, let's hear what's happening.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Terry. So, you know, we are a much, much smaller organization. We have 25 employees. So when I hear talking about 200, and it's very impressive. But with those 25 people, I really, just like Chris, worked, you know, from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. for the first 2 weeks. So we closed we stopped seeing clients. You know, we provide mental health counseling and case management, financial assistance for people in need. So we actually stopped the services for a week and then started working remotely. Everybody was working full-time remotely after 1 week. But phones were a big issue. How do we answer the phone? And we're still dealing with that. We are trying to looking at options to use cloud PBX or, you know, going in the cloud. So that's still a big challenge. All the other details we kind of have been able to. We use Zoom for counseling, telehealth, all our case management sessions also completed via phone, fax, and all that. But we actually are seeing as many clients as when we are open. Yeah. And we are planning on reopening the office on July 1st. and a maximum of 3 clients in the office. Staff is being staggered. So we have 50% employees at the time in the office. So like I said, it's at a much smaller scale than everybody else. But just to let you know, just being part of the meeting has really given me an opportunity to think big, even though we are small. And I do appreciate it very much.
Great. We're glad you're here.
Yeah. So I'm just taking notes. Every time anybody mentions anything, take notes and do my little research afterwards. Thank you.
Great.
Have you guys noticed that your frequent flyer clients are coming back more often? I mean, the tech support people?
Yes, spend a lot of time in talking to a lot of people.
Frequent flyer.
But, you know, actually, as I think it was more than anything just building up that confidence. Once they figure, oh, I click on this, and then they kind of feel more comfortable, more confident on clicking on that link. It's nothing is going to happen. It's okay, you know, to just do that. Another big challenge was educating our clients, because all the sessions were being completed via Zoom, and just that was probably was the biggest challenge for me. Had to provide information for a therapist to provide to their clients.
So Vince, are you around?
I'm right here. Yep.
Where's your picture? We can't remember what you look like. I'm kidding. Are you outside?
While working from home, and my girlfriend is too, and our bandwidth is somewhat limited.
Okay. So
when we're all on Zoom calls, it's much better when I'm not transmitting a picture. But it's interesting because we've because of where we are here in South Florida, and all our hurricanes, we've had migrated to most all of our counselors and case managers had laptops and were already used to working remotely. So we really, I mean, of course, some of the administrative folks had some catching up to do, but even there, we never closed the office. We had a skeleton crew. The front office, even though we didn't have clients coming in for counseling, but the front office stayed to answer the phone and to do some administrative stuff. And our accounting folks also staggered, but they came in. So we actually never closed the office. Now we've initiated the cleaning folks have gone to like a super duper disinfectant mode every night.
Right.
But our counselors had already been performing some telehealth counseling sessions. And so that ramped up, thankfully, very quickly. We still are delivering our meals on wheels. Our food pantry is still open. As a matter of fact, there's a much more of a demand in the food pantry, as you can figure out. So the impact, knock on wood, to us hasn't been as bad, only because thankfully, I never thought I'd say thank you, hurricanes, but you know, we've kind of been preparing for this for years.
Right.
Just because when we had those couple of really bad hurricane seasons, we realized, wow, you know, we had to do something different. So that was a big plus. I think we're more worried about when we open up again so that clients start coming in, and trying to work with our EHR vendor in trying to figure out a touchless way, because most of our clients are very elderly. I mean, you know, for example, in our senior center, which is still closed, but we're providing them remote, but it's like average age is 85 years old.
Right.
Even like to hand them tablets to check in with, we're just scratching our head trying to figure out the best contactless way once we open again, for clients to come in, how to handle that.
That's a big one. It's true.
One of the programs we're trying to develop is we got donated about 25 of these Android tablets with data plans on for our mental health clients that are, we're going to say, disconnected is the right term. So we're trying to work with our federation and get students who are off for the summer. The Canadian government's giving the students some money to stay at home and not work. So being the socialist country that we are. So we're trying to get some of those students to come in and they're going to get paired up. We're going to do in our social distance training where they're going to sit in a garden and we're putting on some preloading like TeamViewer quick support so that they can then watch and control the item and help set up the system with our mental health clients as well as our senior clients. So we're coordinating that with our other agency just to get the disconnect away from them. That's our next major project that's going to get rolled out in the next couple of weeks.
Good idea.
You know, speaking of cleaning and wiping down and keeping tablets clean and all that, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but we have a day porter that's been in, that comes in and goes through our office about every hour and wipes down doorknobs, wipes down touch surfaces. And they have just managed to kill a bunch of copier touchscreens just from over cleaning. I don't know what they're cleaning them with, but they're not covered under warranty. And I hate to tell them to not clean so much, but we've noticed that. We've noticed actually our doorknobs and our locks are getting really screwed up. I don't know if any of you have seen that, but specifically touchscreens on equipment from things getting wiped down. I don't know if you've run into that, but be careful if you haven't.
Wow, you know, we're not into our full reentry plan yet. So we are staggering staff to come back in, but it's not regularly going to happen for a few more weeks. But that was one of the big items of debate was shared office equipment, especially copiers, printers, scanners, and the like. And of course, we just completed a big kick of trying to get everybody not to use a printer at their desktop and to use the copier because it's more efficient and it's more secure and it's way better. And we finally got everybody convinced that this is the way to go. And now everybody wishes they had the printer by their desk again. But we've been working on physical protocols for everything that we can't separate. And I really don't know how that's going to play out once people start coming back into the office. And I feel it'll take its toll on things like that.
Our copier repair guys gave us a whole bunch of styluses. So we stopped wiping down the copier touchscreens so much. Give everybody a stylus and make them bring them with them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I really like that idea.
Keep the stylus there and wipe it down regular, you know?
Yeah, good idea.
You still have to open the cover. You have to do whatever, but for the most part, that reduces a lot of the touch, just having stylus there.
But everyone's saying now that you don't really get this coronavirus through touch.
They say that, but they're still scared of it.
Yeah, they say a lot of things that they take back and then they bring back again.
True. Terry,
I walk with this all the time.
Yeah, that's good, Chris. Terry, did you want to say anything to us about what's happening?
And I'm sorry, I stepped away for a second for what Chris had talked about, but I can tell you that, you know, as a leadership team, we met this morning to discuss what our reopen plan is, or come back to work plan is going to look like. And, you know, we've got a couple more things to do. I mean, we feel like we got to get our ducks in a row more so because it's really blown up here, you know, and it's so much more positive has come about. And so we're not prepared to put a plan in place. So we're status quo until we're able to gather some additional information. We just don't want to thrust our work first back out there when it's higher than it's ever been. So yeah, it's scary times, but thank you.
Yeah, it really is in Florida. Now.
Well, they're idiots. I'm sorry. But they go to the beach. I'm sorry. They are.
Well, everyone's going back now, like the Jersey Shore. Like, I just think that it's going to spike everywhere.
But it amazes me. There's a 25-year-old in the department, and he's like, I see my friends on Facebook, and they're all going out to the beach. And I'm like, eh. You know, and he's like thinking that they're crazy, too. It's like, as you get older, you just don't want to, you know, it's so much harder to hold on to the toilet when you're throwing up, isn't it?
Oh gosh, that's a good line.
It is.
Yeah. You know, it's getting so crazy. A buddy of mine works for AT&T. He does cellular services, data network stuff. And he said two workers were shot in Jacksonville, two tower climbers, because these people that shot them were convinced that 5G caused COVID-19 and yeah. stopping it from happening.
Yeah, we had two towers blow, get set on fire in Montreal.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
One thing we found is Zoom fatigue a lot, where you get tired. I'm going to put in the chat an interesting article from Harvard Business Review where they give some tips on it. And the number one tip that I found that I've been using the last 2 weeks is turn off your self view. Because when you're watching yourself, your eyes get tired quicker because you see yourself. So if you hide, that's the number one tip that I found, and I sent it out to my staff, and the amount of comments I got was, oh my God, I'm so refreshed. I'm not watching myself during the meetings. I'm actually able to focus better on the meetings.
Well, so, how do you find yourself again? I hid myself.
And then you go in the upper right-hand corner, you go show self view again.
You don't have therapists for that where you are?
Yoga.
Yeah, yoga.
Interesting. I think that's a great tip. I'm going to say it to everybody because, you know,
oh, look, there
it is. I'm on Zoom all day long. By the end of the day, I feel like my eyes are just slits, you know.
Yeah, but that was huge. They gave a whole bunch of tips. Try and use the phone more. Try and use this. But they said Zoom fatigue. You turn that function off and you feel much more refreshed. Mm. And this is my 8th call of the day. I've been hiding all day. It's almost like a default for me.
Like it.
Yeah, I would have had a day that went all the way through, but I was so late for one meeting and I had another meeting that was starting so quickly that I just couldn't make it. So I had an unintentional 10-minute break because everything else ran so far over.
When are we meeting next? Should I let you know? Or are we going to stick to the plan?
I think, you know,
before
COVID struck, we were talking about quarterly meetings, but it seems like in the wake of this, it's been helpful for us to connect more often. So
I do too. I think it's good because some of these are going to be really great done.
Well, right. The next meeting.
Plus, there are things that I can complain about to you guys that I can't to anybody else.
And yes.
My boss is
much way. Today, Craig.
I can't complain because my boss is on right now.
Yeah, I can complain now. Elizabeth is gone.
Harry, you're really cramping our style. Okay, I'm kidding. The one we have written down September 22nd, but that's 3 months from now. Do you want it earlier? Do we want to come up with another time, Jonathan and Craig?
I'd say mid-July, I think. Mid to end July.
Mid-July.
Sure, not that'd be fine with me. We could go back to
on vacation, I hope.
Right.
So
are you going to take any vacation?
Vacation.
What's that? I feel guilty asking for it.
I had 3 days this year.
You guys have to take your vacation. That's important.
Well, you know, I did have a Zoom call earlier today where we were all told we needed to use more vacation, except none of us can go anywhere. So we're going to try to figure that out.
Stay at home. Staycation. So are you saying that you want to meet in July?
July, and then we'll see how. I think August may be enough of a everybody finally has to use their vacation month that maybe it'll be difficult for August, but
okay,
I'll be around in July.
So yeah. I'll send a doodle poll to the two of you to figure out a time when you both can meet and then we'll send it out to everybody.
Okay. Okay. That sounds great.
Okay. Yeah. Terrific.
Doodle poll. Okay.
That's the one thing I do well. One of the many. Okay. Goodbye, you guys.
All right. Well, as always, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, all of you. Bye, keep on being heroes.
Be safe, man. Be safe.
Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Tim, you got a minute for a call?